Jesus, without you we can do nothing. That message is released to us. The Spirit that brought Christ Jesus from the dead. The same Holy Spirit that He imparted to the saints on the day of Pentecost. Without Him, we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, we pray. I'm reminded that today is the 7th day of the 12th month. And somebody reminded me that it was also a commemorative day that Pearl Harbor took place. I didn't know about that connection until a few minutes ago, but I'd like to say that this tribute, that I took time to make a few notes because I didn't want to miss any points. And I know that many of you, I pray, have things in your heart that you will share about your spiritual fathers. And it could be a spiritual mother. So it doesn't matter. I want you to obey the Holy Spirit as the prompting comes forth. For me, the Lord reminded me that Pastor Gino was, as I've said before, sometimes an irritation because he would push my buttons. So if I've learned anything, I learned how to push buttons. And that means inside of you, to push you to greater maturity in Christ. But it starts way before then. This is a tribute to the men who God used to change the course of my history. And the word history should be kind of spelled out. His story. The story of Christ in me. So I want you to just put your hand on your heart right now and say, I am being formed by God. To carry the history of Christ Jesus a little deeper into the earth and into the world around me. To irritate the world system so that they can see that His story living inside of me is having an impact on all of the society around me. Amen? So it's the course of my history, my life, and my family. The first person that I found in my family that had a great impact on me was Paul Bergeron, who was my half-brother. He took up the responsibility from his father and my father, Louis Bergeron. And he said, yes. And I'm here because he did not listen to reason and find the way that was easy. He said yes and trusted God even when we moved from Canada and had lost everything in a financial crisis. All the things of value in his life and a lot of things in my life, he chose to keep on going and keep on pushing, even at that tender age. Even leaving Vermont in 1956, and come to Massachusetts was because he did not want me to be stuck in the granite quarries. And he moved us to Massachusetts with both Mom and I in total rebellion against him. Then Ray Demers, some of you may know, also became a stepping stone in my life. He came into my life in 1956 as a friend. In 1977, had moved to California years before, but moved back and reconnected with me. And then I met a gentleman because of Ray named Father Paul from West Warren. He was a Roman Catholic priest. He had the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and yes, I saw the evidence of speaking in tongues for the very first time. Then because of him, God filled me. And then in April of 1977, we started the first prayer meeting at St. Anne's, and Father Silvio Levesque was okay with us and let us use the cellar of the school and different buildings, and it lasted 13 years. Yes, he even set a special mass for our healing services on Sunday nights. And God did get the glory. Then Irene and I and Louise Morin in 1979 brought me to a little tiny white church in Forest Park. And I saw Pastor Gino for the first time. I returned one more time and did not understand and did not return for a long time. Then Grace Church of Christ was formed and the Lord restored Irene and I to return. And we saw this man at the big church, and I couldn't think of the name. Trinity. And that's also at Forest Park. Big, huge church. There came a radical word of knowledge out of this man. Much more for Irene and I. Yes, the Holy Spirit used Gino many times. And at times, it was just one word. And it carried until 1982, in September. We met privately for the very first time at Friendly's. In fact, believe it or not, he never showed up for the first meeting. And I had to drive all the way back home. And it was a confirmation that no matter if you're obedient to the Lord, there's going to be some adversary situations. Our second attempt, we did get to connect. He agreed to pray about being my teacher, along with Roby Moore. Yes, I saw Roby every few weeks, and I studied and learned, and this lasted for 3 years. Then in December 84, I knew it was time to work for Grace Church and full-time. I saw joy in Gino's heart and the release of the prayer line phone number, which I had been training about down in North Carolina. And he gave me that phone number, 781-7777. That was like the little trick up his sleeve. Then the Lord put me where he needed me, and yes, there were critics. So many with an agenda to destroy that ministry. I saw the lies, the deceptions, the pressures, and that Gino endured from his family, friends, and those he loved. He endured, and he called on Jesus to sustain him. We cried together, broke bread together. He taught me how important it was to God and to his people. Yes, Gino was a servant, and he made many mistakes, just like me. But he was willing. He was a willing vessel to be slaughtered for the sake of being an example to me. And he never retaliated. When I would open up and tell him what I had heard, how the area pastors were calling him names, etc., and they were not very pretty, he would look at me and say, "Kim, how will you react when you are 70? Well, Lord Jesus, I'm almost there. Now I rejoice I had a man in my life who taught me to respond. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes." So I want you to go to the scripture right now. Matthew 21 and Mark chapter 12. I believe we're going to go to Mark 12 first. They confirm each other. But in Mark 12, it's maybe a little easier. Would you put the light on over there, Dee, please, so they can see back there? They're having a problem. Thank you. Mark chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 1. Jesus has just been irritated by those who are having a hard time with him. And it says, "He then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. At harvest time, he sent servants to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed.
Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others, and they beat others they killed. Verse 6. He had one left to send, a son, whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him, and they threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That's our text, verse 11. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I remember the first time that I heard this message coming from Gino's lips. It was about the Queen of England. In the midst of the blitzkrieg that was going on, and the Germans were bombing London. My mother's brother happened to be there, and I can verify it was not pretty. But this queen had the scripture that I've just quoted to you. And she would literally push in the realm of the spirit these words over the airwaves to all of England. What's been going on? What's happening right now? All the things that are going on in our country. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. What do you think was the response of the nation? She's gone off her rocker. She's lost her sanity. But she was declaring that God would use every single weakness, every single difficulty of every single family, and use it for His glory. Because she was literally giving God the credit that He was on the throne and He wasn't going to let England fall apart. So I began to use that scripture whenever I couldn't understand what God had allowed to come into my life. How many of you have had problems in your life? Then close your eyes. You qualify. Say, "Lord Jesus, those things I cannot comprehend, I trust that this is your doing. And it's going to be marvelous in my sight. It's a choice I'm making right now. If they persecute me, if they talk about me behind my back, if they don't understand me, God is still on His throne. And He knows what I'm going through. And He's going to use it for His glory." Can you begin to comprehend that there are all kinds of circumstances that happen to us as we grow? So even in his last days, because of his obedience to Jesus, he was rejected, hurt, and wounded by many, because he did not make sense to them. But I tell you, he was a stone that God used to build. And today, many are here who have tasted the rejection and the pain of being misunderstood. But this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my sight. I honor all these men in my life. But the most profound, the one who stirred me and pushed me to develop in the Spirit, was Pastor Gino Ruffo. There were many, many miracles. Many. Too many to enumerate because I would lose track, but I can tell you one of the most irritating. There was a season that he had received the word from the Lord to give out 7-inch pieces of dark maroon red ribbons. It looked just like what you see here. 7 inches long, cut at an angle. And I remember the ladies of the church worked in the office, cut all those little pieces of ribbon, and on Friday night, he gave us the story and read from the scriptures in Joshua, I believe it's in chapter 3 or 4, about Rahab, who needed salvation for her whole family. And you know what? Rahab was commissioned to leave a little red rope or a little red ribbon outside her window. And she was to stuff all her family members in her apartment. Stuff them in. Mother, father, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, you name them. Bring them all in because the whole city is getting destroyed. And so he explained that this little red ribbon meant and represented the blood of Jesus Christ. And I had a problem. I had a physical problem. That physical problem is I couldn't breathe without using all kinds of nose sprays. I had seen my doctor, and he had told me that to go to a specialist. And I did. I listened to Dr. Trump, and I went to the specialist. And the specialist was definitely on the job. He gives me a prescription, which is something I couldn't handle because I was totally allergic to it. Gave me the script and walked out the room. And, of course, you can imagine what kind of words I had for Dr. Trump. What kind of horse doctor did you send me to? Even my dog gets better treatment than what I did from this human doctor. I don't remember his name. I don't want to. But I was not saying this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in my sight. I was angry. Because this man had zero compassion. He wasn't interested in me. He was interested in whatever dollars he was going to get from surgery operating on my nose. And I was not interested. So, I now am told that I'm not to use any kind of medication in my nose. And I can't breathe, so I have a problem. So I'm taking anti-inflammatory pills off the market. Friday night's the healing service at Grace Church of Christ. And guess who's sitting on the third pew? Kim. Guess what happens halfway through the service? You can't breathe. So what do? You open your mouth. And you breathe through your mouth. So I proceeded. I went to Holy Communion, I knelt at the altar rail, I received, I came back to my chair, to my bench, and I heard the Lord say, look down. And because there was a lot of people in the church, I had put my Bible on the floor. And out of the Bible, there was this little piece of ribbon sticking out at the top. And the Lord said, why don't you just take that little ribbon and put it on your nose? And I said, what? Now, I don't want to be a spectacle. And you know, everybody's eyes were on me, of course, because that's what I believed. And he told me this 3 times. What do you have to lose, son? Take the little red ribbon and touch your nose with it. Ironic, stupid, you name it, qualify it, whatever. Finally, I took courage and grabbed that little ribbon and I touched my nose with it. And the minute I touched my nose with it, all the swelling disappeared. I could breathe through my nasal passages. My sinuses were totally free. And God, who had the glory? Because I was weeping in unbelief. God, you used a stupid red ribbon to heal this kid. That's what you done. What am I saying to you? This man of God obeyed the Holy Ghost, and God was using that particular obedience to get me out of a box of unbelief. And he was declaring to me, look at the example I'm teaching you. Are you ready to obey me? Are you ready to go cut up a whole box full of little red ribbons if I tell you to? And you know, sitting in my office crying my eyes out, saying, yes, God, I'll do anything until he asks. I want you to do this. And then you have to declare what God says. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in my sight. What is he doing today in you and me? Is he changing you and me from what we were to what we need to be? Yes. Can you give credit to God? He knows the secrets of your heart. He's exposed some of them through my son and I this morning in some of your hearts. So the heritage of what Gino did for me and for my son and for you and your sons and your daughters. Can't advertise daughters because I have daughters-in-law, but not real daughters. I have a great-granddaughter. She's marvelous in my sight. Until she decides that she's not happy and cries out for help from anybody. Just like I did when I was a kid. What am I saying to you today? If you have received from men, women. There was a marvelous lady in Westfield who was a tremendous gift to me. She would sometimes irritate me. Sometimes she'd give me a word of knowledge. She ran a little bookstore. Anybody remember Thea? She was a marvelous gift to me because she prodded me. And she prodded me to obey. And there are many others. If I started naming them all, we'd be here 3 days, at least. What am I saying to you? God knows what he's doing with each and every single one of you. Don't be afraid to honor those who came before you. And remember, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. Amen? Who's got something to say that needs to be give it out. Come on up.
Okay. First person I'd like to say is Kim, because I had a gambling problem and my mother didn't know what to do with me. I wasn't saved or anything. I was working at a restaurant, the ground round, and my mother said, this gentleman will help you, really help you. So I went, and not only did he pray for me not to gamble, but he prayed that I receive the Lord, so I was saved then. But then I went back to my old ways. And my mother, a few years later, said there was this man at Grace Church. She said he was a little man, but powerful. His name was Pastor Gino. And Pastor Gino took an interest in me, counseled me, so did Kim too at the same time. So these two men helped me understand a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they always brought me back to the Lord, the Word. And that was really something that I, you know, it's the Lord's doing, it's marvelous in my sight. I'd also like to lift up Judy Narette, because I had an episode this summer where the doctors said I wasn't going to survive a coma. This church prayed, Judy was there, my son was there, and 8 days later I came out of the coma, and the spiritual family here lifted me up. And I would not be here today if it wasn't for your prayers. And Judy's my spiritual mother. I can't say enough about her. And Kim, my spiritual father. Pastor Gino is my spiritual father, too. I just want to lift these individuals up because they had an impact on my life so that now I'm really receiving from the Lord. And otherwise, I don't know where I would be. Thank you, Paul.
Can we give glory to God?
Anyone else? Peggy? It's just her.
Just
it's easier than having to
I first met Pastor Gino, I think it was back in 1990. I had I was in a separation from my husband at the time. And I had a friend who went to Grace Church, and she said, "Oh, this, it's just marvelous. You have to come." And at that time, they had Friday night healing services. So I went and didn't quite understand what was so wonderful about it. It was actually a little scary to me at first because I come from a Catholic background, and that's where I was going to church. So it was a little odd for me. Well, I left, and she said, "Isn't it awesome? You have to come back." And I said, "Well, no." But I did. And just listening to Pastor Gino, he gave out was giving out words from the Lord to different people. And this one particular night, he did have a word for me, and it just sort of drew me in, I guess. The Lord was calling me to be there. There was one particular night, after about a year had passed, they had a healing, called for healing for people that had like neck, shoulder, and arm problem. And I had had this problem for 7 years. 7 years prior to that, I had fallen backwards. And I don't know what I did. I never went to a doctor or anything about it. But I had a pain that would start in the back of my neck, and it would go down to my arm. It wasn't continual, but it came in spurts. And it really bothered me. So I went up, and I said, "Okay, Lord, here I am." And praise God, I was healed that evening and have not had a problem since. That was a major thing in my life at the time. Now, Pastor Gino was, for me, he was a little aloof because I think he had his way of dressing was like a Catholic priest. He wore the collar, the white collar, and the black clothes. So I think in that regard, it made him a little more aloof than, say, Pastor Ken. So I didn't have a close relationship with Pastor Gino. I certainly always respected him and believed that he absolutely heard from the Lord. I was baptized in the water, and at that particular baptism, I had met Bob just a few months before, and Bob came to that particular ceremony. And things that Pastor Gino spoke over me were just tremendous because he was speaking my life at the time. Shortly after, well, it was 2 years after that, Bob and I continued to see each other, and we decided to get married, and we counseled with Pastor Gino. And I think it was, I want to talk about that letter. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. It was, maybe 3 weeks before the wedding. I'm not sure the time frame, but it was very close to our wedding. Someone had sent me an anonymous letter. And in this anonymous letter, it told me every bad thing that Bob ever did in his life, I think. Certainly not from the right spirit, obviously. Well, I prayed. Of course, I was devastated to get this. It was just awful, some of the things that they said. So I called a couple of people that were involved, and it was a Friday night. I brought the letter to Pastor Gino. And he agreed to see me before service. And he read it. And his words to me were, "Do you believe any of this? And do you believe that people could change?" And I said, "Yes, I do believe that people can change." I said, "I don't know whether to believe any of this or not, because I, I haven't known Bob all those years before. So he said, well, I do believe that people can change, and my heart is telling me that you should disregard this letter, which is what I did. So for me, that was a life-changing event that Pastor Gino helped me through. And as you can see, 15 years later, he's still seeing me through. The other people that I wanted to mention were, I do have to mention Pastor Vinny. There was one major point in my life, and it was the day I was getting married, and I was in the hallway waiting to come into the chapel, and Pastor Gina was marrying us, and Vinny walked by, and he said to me, "Are you nervous?" I said, "Not at all." And I wasn't. That was the truth. And he said, "That's the way it should be." So I will remember him for telling me that. You know, and on occasions when you have to do things, and if you're all nervous, that's not God all the time. You know, so I did that. Take that into my heart. And of course, I do want to mention Pastor Kim. Pastor Kim is. He was the person that I went to for counsel the most. I do have to say that he's brought me through the Lord to where I am today. There were many, many times when I cried and he allowed me to. He answered my questions when I had them. There were times when I was very, very angry. Maybe just one time. There weren't a lot of times. I think there was just one time when I was really, really angry. That one time, you know, he allowed me to come in to, you know, to get it all out, and I was really angry. But he did help me through that, and he's always been there. There's always an open door. There's always, you know, the call on the phone. He's there. And he always, in my heart, what I appreciate most is he always believes the best in people, and my husband is the same way. Always believes in the best, and that there is good inside of you, and you know, and they both help to bring it out. I do have to mention a very dear friend, Kathy. I don't know that I'd characterize her as a spiritual mother, but she was had a spiritual effect up to a point in my life. She pushed me through things when I really didn't want to do them. I will also mention Linda. And I do want to mention Kay and Diana, who's passed. Kay was from, they were all from Grace Church. Kay is down in Florida now, I believe. And they probably don't realize the effect they had on my life, but they did. And Linda still does. She's still in my life. She, you helped me, Linda, when I was going through a time with Bob, when he had his operation, and Kim helped me too, when there were times when it was like, I can't do this, Lord, I just can't do it. But Linda and her relationship with her husband, Chuck, and what she went through in that relationship with him will always be with me. And I think that's it.
Could you put an addendum to that?
Sure.
In the summer of 92, I had convinced Peggy that she should marry me. And then the wedding plan started, and we met with Pastor Gino. And I had it all figured out. You know me, I'm a calculating guy. I'm a numbers guy. And I said, if we get married before the end of 92, we can file a joint return for that year. Wow, what a great idea. So I went to him and I said to him, I want to get married on the last possible day of 1992. You pick the day. And he said, that's between holidays and I don't work holidays. So I went, humma, 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 humma. And so we got married January 9th, so Pastor Gino got his way. And what an influence he was on us. Just being as Kim has been, the consistency. That's what I look for, and that's what I see in, or saw in him, and see in Kim. And we love you, man. Thanks. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, he thought he was going to be on the hook again this week. Anyone else? Yes, Linda. You're like me. Huh? Good girl. You want to stand, or? Might be nice if they could see your smile. Sure. Sure, come on.
Of course, I have many that I could honor today as spiritual fathers and mothers, but I specifically picked out Pastor Gino to honor him. The first time I attended Grace Church was for a Good Friday evening service. Another couple, friends of ours, invited Chuck and I to go with them. The church was so crowded that the only place open was in the balcony, and we were able to occupy the last remaining seats. Before we arrived, we had asked the Holy Spirit for discernment. I can't tell you what Pastor Gino's message was, but what the Holy Spirit showed us was God's love being expressed through him. And as we were leaving, this same love was being shown by the congregation, not only to each other, but also to us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, was being shown as people gathered in the church and even outside the church, fellowshipping, praying for each other, and pouring out the love they had just received. It reminded me of a family gathering together to celebrate an occasion at the family homestead. When the festivities are over, some remain inside talking and sharing, and others, even when going to their cars, stop and talk in order to remain with their family members a little while longer. There are always some relatives who can't wait to leave, but that's in all families. Chuck and I had been going to a home prayer meeting, and the Lord had told us we'd be leaving, but he would tell us when. One night, I took a girl's aunt home from the meeting, and the next morning, I had to go to the bank. When I came out of the bank, Jesus told me to go see the girl's aunt instead of going home. I went to where I had dropped her off, but I wasn't sure which house she lived in. I saw that there was an overpass across the street with parking places underneath. There was a car there, the only car. So I pulled up next to it, and who do you think was in the car but the girl's aunt? She was crying and very despondent. I prayed with her, and the Lord brought to my mind that there was a noontime service at Grace Church in the chapel, which I had never been to. She agreed to go, and we got there on time. Pastor Gino was playing the organ, and then, by the Holy Spirit, started calling out words of knowledge. He called me up front and told me things that had happened in my childhood that only God would know. He then prayed with me. My friend went up for prayer later and was healed and delivered. She left with a smile on her face. I began going to noontime services as often as possible. And a couple of months later, we were told by the Lord to leave the other prayer meeting and join Grace Church. So now Pastor Gino was officially our pastor. His preaching and teaching was not only invaluable to us, but because Chuck and I each taught a Christian confraternity doctrine class, the Bible, at our other church, which is a Catholic church in which I still attend, where God had put us, much of the spiritual understanding of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit gave us through Pastor Gino we were able to share with these children. It was such a wonder to see how he was used in the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the same anointing was imparted to the congregation so that sheep were ministering to sheep. Salvation was foremost for Pastor Gino, and as a result of the preaching of the full gospel of Jesus Christ, many souls were saved. In fact, I saw people walking from the street, and they were saved that very night.
Amen.
What touched me the most about Pastor Gino was his heartfelt love for the Lord, and he wasn't ashamed to show it. He never criticized or condemned other churches. In fact, some of us, like Chuck and I, belong to other churches. He never told us to come out of the other church, but encouraged us to let God use us there also. He was a humble man. He often shared his pulpit with other men and women of God, and even church members at times. If I met him in the hallway, he didn't just say hello and continue on. He would stop and talk and make sure everything was all right. Sometimes I would be in the outer office talking to the woman there, and he would call me into his office. I always felt like a child being called into the principal's office. But he would put me at ease and inquire about my family. Then he would usually ask me a spiritual question, which I didn't immediately have an answer for. It wasn't a gotcha question, though. It was usually a different perspective of looking at something he would eventually explain. Pastor Gino wasn't perfect, and neither am I. But he was anointed of God and deserves to be honored.
Amen.
I love you and miss you and honor you, Pastor Gino. And I thank you for being a loving and giving spiritual father to us and a good and faithful servant to our Lord Jesus.
And all of God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. An awesome job, young lady. Anyone else? Come on up, girl.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit warm. It's kind of amazing because the first time I went to Grace Church, it was at the White Church in 1978. A friend of mine brought me there. And I attended for a while, but fell away and then went back when it was in Grace Chapel at Trinity. And then started going pretty regularly. And it was just amazing to me, this little short Italian man, which he always would say, I'm a little short Italian man. And it made me feel good because being brought up in an Orthodox Catholic church, and being half Italian, even though he wore the priestly garb, it still was fun because he had just such a loving, gentle way about him. And I was always blessed throughout the whole time there. Actually, never felt like strangling him because he was always, it's like, you know, the message was just love. We just always, that's his message, was love, love, love. And I remember the last time I saw him was just a few months before he passed away. I don't know if some of you might know, I had a flower shop in Agawam, and a lot of times people would have me send things to Jeannie and Pastor, and I would take it on my way home instead of, you know, having my husband, who was my delivery man, go during the day. Because sometimes, you know, they would invite me in, and it was always nice to chit-chat for a little bit. And this last time, it was so sweet because he was sitting at the kitchen table in his robe and he had lost so much weight. I mean, because if you remember him, he was a very robust man and he had just lost so much weight. I almost didn't recognize him in that because I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he invited me to sit down and share his snack and I couldn't that day. But I was just really blessed by the... by that. So I just want to honor him because even in that time when he was still ill, he was still very generous, a very generous spirit. And then I have to say thank you, Lord, for this guy. Because throughout the years, the prayer that would come forth for Friday night services, and then after he was there for me when I closed my flower shop, and the only explanation I could tell people was, well, business wasn't that good. It was very hard to tell people, well, the Lord told me to close it. But he understood, and he was there for me every step of the way and invited me to come to Monday afternoon, those wonderful Monday afternoon services. And I just praise God for every step of the way. And even when I've wanted to strangle you, every time you have said John 5, 19, and 30, it's like, but I want to do this. And it's like, no, John 5, 19, and 30. So anyways, I just thank God for all your love, all your patience, especially patience with me and my stuff. I thank God also for Joyce Meyer.
Amen.
I don't know her personally, but in 1995, I have to also thank God for a certain sister back there who ran the bookstore at Grace Church who had Joyce Meyer tapes, because for the very first time I had heard her on the radio in 1995, and it was all about unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment, which I knew was a family curse of mine, but I didn't realize what the challenges were in getting rid of it. And it just happened that right after I heard her, first time I heard her on the radio, and I went to church, and there were these tapes sitting at the book counter, and which I bought and virtually wore out just before I gave them to another, my sister-in-law, who said, I need to hear those. And who knows who has them now, all these years later. And thank you, Lord. But all the serious, practical Christianity as a spiritual mother that she has provided for me. And there's times when, boy, I would yell back at the TV to her. It's like that, because there were times when I didn't want to hear it, and I was yelling back at the TV or yelling back at the radio or the tape player, because I have worn out tapes of hers. And gone, thank you, Lord, even in the midst of trials, gone to conferences and been so blessed. And I also have to honor my sister Peggy, who has been there every step as a true sister in Christ and a true friend. And yes, I'm mad that you moved out of East Long Meadow. 4 years and I'm still mad. Hallelujah. But I know the people of Palmer and that area are blessed.
Amen.
With the Arnold family. Anyway, you have been there as a strong sounding board and a blessing to me. More to mention than I could ever imagine times. And so I just praise God for all the connections that he's given me in the spirit and in the flesh. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. The glory to Jesus. Anyone else? Come on up here.
My message would be very different from anybody so far, because everything that came into my path was an exceeding irritation. I used to go on Wednesday nights to Grace Church, and I sat in the back of the church on purpose, and without fail, Pastor Gino would call me out, say something, and I just crawled under the seat, and got very, very irritated, because none of it made sense to me. I didn't know what to do with it. This was a very, very difficult time. I did not get to really personally counsel with Pastor Gino, but definitely knew him as a person the Lord was using to begin to, I would say, wake me up. And that was a part of the wake-up call. Pastor Tim Moore had a very strong influence on me, that I also attended Faith Tabernacle when it was in Grace Church. And again, it was a lot of wake up. I went to Faith Tabernacle on a pure suggestion from somebody because I was in a very, very deep crisis of my life. I'd had a breakdown. And two people came to me and said, you need to go to Faith Tabernacle. And I went. I didn't know a person. Didn't even know Pastor Tim. None of it. Walked in cold. This is entirely not like me. This is way out of my stratosphere. But the minute I walked in, the word home was all I heard. Home. I'm home. I'm home. So I gradually began to get to know people, which was, again, counter to my nature. Sat there and got exceedingly irritated again because the Lord, this is just seems to be what keeps happening to me because the Lord is waking me up. So it was just hitting things inside of me that I had either never heard before, didn't understand, and just was very, very difficult, very, very difficult time for me. But I knew I was hearing truth. And then one day I was sitting talking to Diana, and I'm watching this person walk in front of Grace Church, and I said, who is that? And she said, that's Kim. And I said, I'm supposed to get to know him. She said, well, go up over there and talk to him. So I did. And again, praise God for Pastor Kim in my life. It was a long, long haul of counseling. This person was in great, great, great need. It was a lot of exceeding irritation again. Lots of just seems like so much irritation because I needed so much truth. I needed so much counsel. I needed so much awareness. I had been in a very, very deep, dark, awful place. And the Lord was using these people to wake me up, to bring me truth, to bring me to an awareness of His Word. And strange as this may sound, God has used, because I'm an avid reader, God will reach you any way He can. He's not choosy. I am an avid reader, so books would plop into my hand, and all I could say, that's a spiritual father to me, because the person who wrote the book was giving me a piece of truth that I desperately needed. And he's done this repeatedly in many ways, and I'm not going to single out any one particular. There were several along the way that book was timed perfectly to give me a piece of truth to add on to what I needed. And I praise and I thank God for that. And I praise and I thank him even for the Elijah list, because off of that, some pieces that I've needed, how God has used to, again, wake up me further and further. And then I praise and I thank God for every one of you, because in your own fashion, in your own ways, all of you have been used by God in my life in multiple ways. I couldn't list them all, and I thank him and I praise him for all of it, because if it hadn't been for that, I couldn't stand here today. I, in all honesty, I wouldn't be on the earth. But because of what God did, and because of the way he has chosen to wake me up and to his love and to him, here I am. And I thank you.
Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you.
This wasn't supposed to be about me. Anyone else? Come on, Judy. You know, while Judy's making her way up here, I want to tell you that Pastor Gino went home to be with Jesus September 9th, 2000. He was born actually March 30th, 1930. And this was the write-up. Come on up. The write-up that was on the back of his little memorial card. And I think it's very appropriate. And it says, "Let now, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of you and your people, Israel."
Two requests. Could you shut him up?
Absolutely not.
Stop him, pile up, sit in the bathroom.
There you go. Now he's probably even going to take your picture, so that will be on record. Come on. You're a good kiddo.
Well, you know, the first thing that came to me, because it's a little different than what
I it should be.
Well, you're different.
Yes, right.
But the first thing that came to me was, I wanted to roast you.
Oh, why not? I've been well done on one side, what about the other?
You know, and I had such a great time just sitting there pondering on that.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess...
Resistance is being well taken.
Okay, if I can do this, I don't know.
Yes, you can.
But if I don't do it... Okay, now, I understood that we're supposed to reflect on the many people that touched our lives.
Amen.
Okay.
Sure.
So, I did it in the form of a letter, okay, to God. Dear Father God, here I am, Judy. It's been a while, and I want to take this time to thank you for loving me when no one else did. Even in my mother's womb, the only words I heard were words of rejection. You were the first one to tell me that I was loved. You did this by the power of your Holy Spirit through a Catholic nun. I was in the first grade in a Catholic school, and you revealed yourself to me through your word in the Baltimore Catechism. The first question was, why did God make you? The answer was to know him, to love him, and to serve him. Then we were told about how Jesus loves us unconditionally, even before we were conceived. To me, he was the only one that ever loved me, and at that moment, I actually felt his love in his presence. From that moment on, he was my very best friend and mentor. All glory and honor goes to you. I want to thank you for working through my mother. I did not understand as a child. She didn't speak it. However, every time there was an issue, I would find her on her knees next to her bed in prayer. I know now that it was her prayers that sustained me through difficult times. I believe that her prayers are still activated from the heavens. When I was older and at the brink of despair, your Holy Spirit spoke words of life and encouragement to me through another Catholic nun, Sister Loretta Thomas. You were not going to let me go. Thank you for your faithfulness. When you called my mother home, you anointed Grace Quinn to be my spiritual mentor. It wasn't easy for her, but she was faithful to her calling. It was through Grace Quinn that I was introduced to Pastor Gino and became a member of Grace Church of Christ. It was by your Holy Spirit through Pastor Gino that I was introduced to the deeper things of the Spirit. Your Holy Spirit became alive in me. Pastor Gino had great spiritual wisdom, and when he taught, he always taught the same message on multiple levels so that a new Christian could understand, as well as a deeper spiritual revelation for the mature Christian. Thank you for manifesting your gifts through Pastor Gino. Many souls were saved, many lives were changed, and many continue on his legacy because of his obedience. After a long sabbatical from Grace Church, I went to the altar for prayer, and Pastor Kim laid hands on me. And the words that he spoke were, "Welcome home." They were not his words, but your words through your Holy Spirit. I knew this was my home. You allowed me to see Pastor Kim's spirit. He truly has the heart after you and walks in obedience to your Holy Spirit. You allowed him not only to go into the broken places with me that I may be lifted up, but also to rejoice with me in the victories. Isaiah 6:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon Pastor Kim, because the Lord has anointed him to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent Pastor Kim to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Matthew 12:18. Behold my servant Kim, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon you, and you shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Pastor Kim, I thank God for you. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of my husband, Bob. I really thought that you had brought us together so that through me he would be saved. However, it is your Holy Spirit through him that has been the balance beam in my life. So many times when he speaks, it is not him but your Holy Spirit speaking through him, and I am convicted. Thank you, Father. Blessed beyond measure, your daughter Judy. And in keeping with keeping Jesus in the middle of Christmas, in honor of the prophet and priesthood in you, here is the frankincense and myrrh.
Thank you, Lord.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
You know, if we could only know all the vessels and thank them, but some are on the other side. And I just want to share the picture that's on the altar right now. And that picture represents a church without walls. Many prophetic words were given to the house of prayer. But there were many, many words of knowledge, prophetic words that were given to Pastor Gino and Grace Church of Christ. And I want to honor Grace Church of Christ today. Because this photograph was taken when I wasn't there. Actually, it came just a little bit before. So I would say the date on it is probably 1984 through 1985. So whose wedding it is, I'm not sure. But these two gentlemen, you'll see them when you look up close. Pastor Gino is actually the gentleman on the... Well, it depends which way you look at it. To the right, if you're facing the picture, to the left is Pastor Roby Moore. And that's Timmy Moore's brother. Now, the picture was not touched up. And it was actually hanging in Pastor Gino's office for many years as a reminder of what God can do. Because when he purchased the building, the Lord told him that it was going to be a church without walls. And when this photograph was taken at one of the first weddings they had in the church, you can see that you can see the steeple from the exterior, you can see the sky, and yet you're looking on the interior of the building, which is unheard of, unless you manipulate a picture. And I can tell you that sitting at the right-hand side of that altar, I have seen in the realm of the Spirit, sitting in that church as I worship Jesus, the entire ceiling disappear. And the fullness of the exterior being visible on the inside of the house. So I know that that place was designed by God to give glory only to Jesus Christ. And you know, I didn't say anything about Pastor Vinny, but some of you have. And I'm blessed that he's capable of taking care of what needs to be done there. Because it is a house of worship that honors Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Come on up.
Well, sitting there listening to everybody else, it appears that you annoy a lot of people.
I do.
And I wonder if that is not actually one of the requirements of a spiritual father or a mother.
It could be.
Peggy, I understand you only got mad once, but I get mad frequently. Most times I'm yelling at him, he's not there physically. Certainly, spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, you know, those that care for us. Everything from being trapped in the bathroom at the age of 2 by my sister, who did not want the little brother that she prayed for to die and go to hell. Certainly, I need to give tribute to my father. He was not a religious man, but he was a faithful man. And yet, God has chosen, and it's marvelous, and I hear the word marvelous, and of course, you can make your own definition for different words, and marvelous at this point means beyond understanding, annoying, aggravating, you know, death to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of marvelous. The spiritual fathers push you out of your comfort zones, and I think spiritual fathers and mothers bring you to places that your biological parents cannot bring you.
Amen.
So it was because of that I would reference several people and give honor to them, tribute to them. First one that made a major impact in my life, major positive impact in my life, so I'm not going to talk about the negatives, was Pastor David Wells. This is a gentleman that I had met through business dealings, and I had a business in the 80s, and I thought the Lord wanted us to give a rather significant financial gift to his ministry. We were not attending that church at the time. And we went out to eat, and I shared what we wanted to do, and his minister of finance was with him. And Pastor Wells looked across the table and said, "Now stop. What, you don't want to receive the check?" And that was very different, because every pastor I've ever known would, you know, grab that check before you even knew it. He said, "No, you need to understand that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And are you prepared to leave where you are? Are you prepared to have a different location for where your heart's going to be placed?" That was a new experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that actually cared for me more than they cared for money. As the Lord would have it, we were in that place. We were in the place where we had, you know, the Holy Spirit had been pursuing me, and we attended a church that believed you could speak in tongues. There's only two possibilities. One, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, or two, it's a satanic act. And since the gifts are all done already, obviously it's the other. Which obviously that when I got to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues, that was a minor problem for them. Minor in quotation marks. So we started to, Pastor Wells started to attend the church, New Life Ministries. And had a business back then. Business suffered major setbacks. Basically we lost everything. And have you ever been in a position of trying to fight a spiritual battle when you have no spiritual power? Anyone relate to me? You know, familiar with the exhaustion that comes into place? And the press, it was a very public failure on my part. The press went to town. They loved the fact that a born-again Christian who had a radio program and who's on the board of directors of a local Christian television station had this failure, and they just went after me mercilessly. We received death threats, the whole nine yards. And I got to the place where I said, "I'm done." I told Ann, I'm not sure what I said exactly to her, but I went to the living room. I said, "I'm going to lay down on the couch, and I'm going to die, because I'm all done. I've got no power to go on, no energy, nothing." And for the first time, Pastor Wells had come to our house, uninvited, I'll say. Knocked the door, came in, and actually, as I was on the couch, ministered life to me. And invited me to come to work at the church. Now, the failing that I had been accused of was financial in orientation. And he asked me to come become the director of finance. Which, you know, still blows me away. Okay, here's, you know, headlines in the newspaper and all this, about all kinds of accusations, attorney generals involved and everything else, and here's this minister's pastor who's saying, "I want you to come and become in charge of our finances at the church." So another thing I understand about spiritual fathers and mothers is that they restore you after you've gone through a place of error and of failure, and they restore you to a place of service. Other people that had significant impact in my life, two spiritual fathers, one was Dennis Peacock. Dennis Peacock I give honor to because he was the first Christian that ministered to me that showed me that you do not have to park your brain at the door in order to worship God. You know, everything was, well, here's what makes sense, and here's reality, and then here's this faith. And that's not true. And so I want to give him honor. Dr. Ed Cole was the first one that I met that was a speaker of truth.
Amen.
And was willing to set a standard. And that was something I know a lot of people, a lot of Christians that call themselves Christians, that were, lily wimp Christian. I'm not sure if any of you relate to that or not. You know, if you walk with a huge stoop and, you know, you don't stand for anything, then you could perhaps qualify as a Christian. Dr. Ed Cole was not that. He spoke the truth, and then it was up to the Holy Spirit to convict you of that truth and to bring you to a place moving forward. that standard barrier was a major impact in my life also. When we moved to Munson, we started to attend another church, got into leadership of that church, became a, whatever the title was that they use, elder or what have you. I got into real trouble with that pastor when I said that the first thing I thought the church had to do was get saved. He didn't appreciate that perspective. There's a lot of control there, and I started crying out to God about, where are the real pastors? You know, there's supposed to be pastors out there for the flock. Where are they? Because a lot of pastors I had counseled, I had consulted with, weren't really pastors. And then we had someone in our office, actually, that went to a service in Munson. I didn't know there was another church in Munson. And said, well, you know, we said, what do you think about it? Well, it was different. And so I'm still crying out to the Lord about where, you know, where the real pastors. And then he walked into our office. God used his grandson to get him there. But that's where Pastor Kim and I first met. And it was very intriguing, first of all, a prospective employee to bring their grandfather in, you know, for an interview. And secondly, that a grandfather would come in to an interview for their grandson. And that's when, you know, I've got to give honor to Pastor Kim. Certainly, God has given the House of Prayer a real pastor. This man has a real pastor's heart in him. And I appreciate that, and certainly more times than others. Not more than others. But and he knows how to push buttons, and I think that's part of the requirement.
Yes.
And he has to know what the buttons to push. And as I start to become a spiritual father to others, I'm starting to learn that the Holy Spirit shows you where those buttons are. And you push those buttons just in pure obedience, not really knowing what the outcome is going to be. And it's you know, it reminds me of the thought of back in cartoons. You know, you run out the end of the branch, and then you turn around and you cut the tree off behind you. You know, you're just out there. You know, and so want to give thanks to the Lord. And honor to the Lord through these men and women of God that have had an impact in my life.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on up. This is your second or third time here, Erica?
Third time.
Oh my God, she's going to be guilty. Four? It's even worse. Go ahead.
I come in a much different light, but I have had many experiences here every time I come. And I need to thank the Lord for bringing me to such wonderful people. And I don't know Pastor Gino, but I will tell you that the Lord works in those mysterious ways, because James and I are sitting here listening to the dates that you mentioned of Pastor Gino.
Uh-huh.
And James and I met on March 30th of this year. And I believe that we have discussed it many times, but we began to love each other more deeply on September 9th of this year. And I needed to share that, because I believe that those dates, and we are here to hear them more, things that we need to hear confirmed for us. And a lot has been confirmed. And I appreciate the support.
God bless you.
Thank you.
This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our sight. Amen? Thank you. Anyone else? Then if you would stand, please. You know, we haven't broken bread. We're being led in a different way this day. It is a day of celebration. It is a day to be gratifying the reality of the man that gave many of us a little boost when we really needed it.